Pastor Graham, is your mic on?
It was on.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. In this sermon series, we began with God's creation. Since that Sunday, we've been sharing with you other promises that God gave to the patriarchs, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Then last Sunday, we looked at how God saved the descendants of these patriarchs from this terrible famine that pretty much covered the whole world. But then when God's children grew so immensely in the land of Egypt, this Egyptian ruler by the name of Pharaoh enslaved God's chosen people. So now in our text for this morning, God sends Moses to this Pharaoh to tell him, "Let my people go." However, Pharaoh won't listen to God. He keeps on, as Emily shared with our children, hardening his heart. So as a result of Pharaoh hardening his heart, God sent the first of 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt. By the time we get back to this sermon series in mid-January, we will come to the last of those 10 plagues. Then Pharaoh will let God's people go. For you absent-minded people, here as I am, remember all this. Will you remember everything that we've shared with you in this sermon series? A little while ago, I told you that next Sunday, we begin the Advent season. We begin a brand new church year. The Advent season is that time of the church year when we prepare ourselves for Jesus' first coming into this world. His coming into this world to be our Savior. Today is the last Sunday, rather, of this old church year now coming to its close. It's kind of like New Year's Eve today, the last three Sundays of every church year, our time when we talk about Jesus' second coming into this world. As we say at the end of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, these last three Sundays of a church year, or time when we talk about Jesus coming into this world a second time to judge the living and the dead. In fact, we even talk about that particular subject a little bit on the first Sunday or two of Advent. The time just before our Lord's second coming is kind of like this time that God sends these 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt. Jesus tells us in the Gospel, mainly in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about his second coming. He said that at his second coming, the sun will be darkened, the moon will no longer give out its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Kind of like one of those 10 plagues when darkness covered the earth over the land of Egypt. Besides that, Jesus says before his second coming, nation will rise against nation, kingdom will rise against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all this chaos and disorder that exists around the world in God's creation before he comes a second time will be kind of like this chaos and disorder that exists among people all around the world just before Jesus' second coming. Jesus says that, talks about how lawlessness around the world will increase, and the love of so many people will grow cold. Now, if you have any doubts that there could be such a thing as a plague in this world today, like there were plagues in Egypt, I want you to think back on like 5 years ago, year 2020, Thanksgiving 5 years ago, we were still going through a plague that we called COVID. That plague affected the way we worshiped on Thanksgiving Day 5 years ago. It affected our school system. It affected pretty much every aspect of our life. This coming Thanksgiving, then, we can be so thankful that we pretty much kind of got rid of COVID in this country and in other modernized countries around the world. And yet, in third country nations, in impoverished nations around the world, they still have other diseases that they have to battle. Diseases for which we take for granted because we have remedies and cures for those diseases in our country. Now let me get back to our text. The plague that led Pharaoh to finally let God's people go. First plague that God sent upon the land was what we heard about at the end of our text, where God turns all the water that covered various places in Egypt. God turned that water into blood. That plague, of course, started in the Nile River, and that was fitting because the Egyptians worshipped the Nile River. That plague also affected other rivers and streams and canals and ponds, and even covered the water that sat in vessels made out of wood and stone. Second plague that God sent upon the land of Egypt, we read about in the next chapter of Exodus. Where God covered the whole land with these awful frogs that you see on the screen. Those frogs covered every speck of Egypt. And Pharaoh then told Moses that he would let God's people go if God just removed those plagues, and then Pharaoh would let God's people go and offer their sacrifices to their God. So God did remove all those frogs that were jumping all over the place in Egypt. As soon as God removed that plague, Pharaoh hardened his heart and enslaved God's people once more. The third plague that God sent upon the land was gnats. The whole land was covered with gnats. The fourth plague that God sent upon the land was flies, flying all over the place. And this is the first plague, that fourth plague, where God made the distinction between the people of Egypt and the people of Israel. Among the people of Egypt, there were flies all over the place again. There were the people of Israel lived in that land. There wasn't even a single fly. Everybody could sell their fly swatters. And that pattern then kind of continued with the rest of these plagues. The people of Israel would suffer from this or that plague, but the people of Israel were completely free of that plague. And it was also true with most of those remaining plagues that Pharaoh would promise God's people that if God removed this or that plague, he would let God's people go. But as soon as God did remove that plague, Pharaoh would harden his heart once more and then enslave the people of God. Now, let's go back to the plague that God was sent upon this land before his son's second coming into this world, the judgment of the living and the dead. Even with these plagues that Jesus talks about in the Gospels that will cover this land, Jesus talks both about God's judgment but also God's mercy. promises us in the Gospels, that those who endure their faith to the very end will be saved. Jesus also promises us that the gospel of his kingdom will be proclaimed in every nation throughout the world before the end comes. Jesus tells us that for the sake of his elect, those days of trial and tribulation for all of us will be cut short. Jesus tells us that on this day of his second coming, he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet blast so that they can gather together the elect from all the four winds, from one end of his kingdom to the other. Now, I've had a lot of you ask me over the last few weeks, maybe even over the last couple of months, when am I leaving for Texas? Where I've always stopped at. Almost makes me think you're anxious for me to leave. One of the first things I look at, and I've already got it done, is I have to pack together all the sermons that I'm going to preach on in Texas for the next 4 months. Even God set apart a sermon that I'm going to preach for the Sunday after Christmas. This year, that Sunday falls on December 28th. December 28th, the church year, every year is called Holy Innocence Day. It's a day we remember King Herod killing all these baby boys born in Bethlehem, born in or around Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth. And doesn't that remind you of what Pastor Greg preached about last Sunday? Of how Pharaoh tried to weaken the nation of Israel. As for a time, he had killed all the Israelite baby boys born in Egypt. Well, there's quite a few things that are similar between Moses and Jesus. Jesus is the new Moses, the greater Moses. Well, Moses is God's lawgiver. Jesus, God's own son, is God's law fulfiller. He fulfilled all God's law for us in our place. Like John says at the beginning of his gospel, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For as Jesus himself says later in John's gospel, for if you believe Moses, you would also believe in me. For he wrote of me. One more thing in regards to our text. In our text, God turns a great deal of water into blood. Those two elements of this earth, water and blood, are used by God to create faith in us and to strengthen our faith. How many people have been brought to faith in this church? The simple water of holy baptism is just like God's word says. Baptism does not save us. And how many people have had their faith fed for them? Through the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, through Christ before you turn this pastor out of pastor, say a prayer for all of those winter Texans who every Sunday for the next 4 months have to listen to this old geezer preach. One is all right for you to forget maybe who I am. Remember this other shepherd, your good shepherd, whose birth you will celebrate 4 weeks and 4 days, or exactly 1 month and 1 day. Remember most of all that he's coming again to take you with him. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And please rise and we'll join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,